Purports to this chapter by Srila Prabhupada. It is our experience in the material world that trees stand in one place, but in the spiritual world, a tree can go from one place to another. Therefore, everything in the spiritual world is called alaukika, uncommon or transcendental. Another feature of such a tree is that it can act universally. In this material world, the roots of a tree go deep within the earth to gather food. But in the spiritual world, the twigs, branches, and leaves of the upper portion of the tree can also act like the roots. Herein, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates that the distribution of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be performed by combined forces. Although Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya laments, "How can I act alone? How can I alone pick the fruit and distribute it all over the world?" This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without consideration of the time, place, or situation. In this connection, there is a song sung by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Ainechi aushadhi maya nashibara lagi harinam mahamantra lautumi magi bhakati vinoda prabhu charane padiya she hari nam mantra laila magiya. The Sankirtan movement has been introduced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to dispel the illusion of Maya, by which everyone in this material world thinks him or herself to be a product of matter, and therefore to have many duties pertaining to the body. Actually, the living entity is not his or her material body. The living entity is a spirit soul. He or she has a spiritual need to be eternally blissful and full of knowledge. But unfortunately, he or she identifies him or herself with the body, sometimes as a human being, sometimes as an animal, sometimes a tree, sometimes an aquatic, sometimes a demigod, and so on. And thus, with each change of body, one develops a different type of consciousness with different types of activities, and becomes thus increasingly entangled in material existence, transmigrating perpetually from one body to another. Under the spell of Maya or illusion, he or she does not consider the past or future, but is simply satisfied with the short lifespan that one has gotten for the present. To eradicate this illusion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the Sankirtana movement, and Lord Chaitanya requests everyone to accept and distribute it. So a person who is actually a follower of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur must immediately accept the request of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by offering respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and thus beg from Lord Chaitanya the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If one is fortunate enough to beg from Lord Chaitanya this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one's life is successful. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu produced so many fruits of devotional service that they must be distributed all over the world. Otherwise, how could Lord Chaitanya alone relish and taste each and every fruit? The original reason that Lord Sri Krishna descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to understand Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna and to taste that love. The fruits of the tree of devotional service were innumerable, and therefore Lord Chaitanya wanted to distribute them unrestrictedly to everyone. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore writes, Anarpita Charinchirat Karuna Avatirna Kalau Samarpaitum Anatojvala Rasang Swabhakti Sriyam Hari Purata Sundara Jyuti Kadamba Sandipita Sada Hridaya Kandare Spuratu Va Shachinandana. There were many previous incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but none were so generous, kind, or magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For Lord Chaitanya distributed the most confidential aspect of devotional service, namely the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada desires that Lord Chaitanya live perpetually in the hearts of all devotees, for they can thus understand and relish the loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. God is unlimited, and God's desires are also unlimited. So the example in this episode of unlimited fruits is factually appropriate even within the material context, for with the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there can be enough fruits, grain, and other foodstuffs produced so that all the people in the world could not finish them even if they ate 10 times their capacity. In this material world, there is actually no scarcity of anything but Krishna consciousness. If people become Krishna conscious by the transcendental will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there will be enough foodstuffs produced so that people will have no economic problems whatsoever. One can very easily understand this fact. The production of fruits and flowers depends not upon our will, but upon the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead. If Krishna is pleased, Krishna can supply enough fruits, flowers, etc. But if people are atheistic and godless, then material nature, by Krishna's will, restricts the supply of food. For example, in several provinces in India, especially Maharashtra, Uttar Pradesh, and other adjoining states, there is sometimes a great scarcity of foodstuffs due to lack of rainfall. The so-called scientists and economists cannot do anything about this. Therefore, to solve all problems, one must seek the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming Krishna conscious and worshipping God regularly in devotional service. The Krishna consciousness movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important because one who takes to this Krishna consciousness movement becomes eternal, being freed from birth, death, and old age. People do not recognize that the real distresses in life are the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease. As Krishna himself says in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dhuka Doshanu Darshanam. The conditioned souls are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries, not knowing the transcendental remedy of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all misery. But because the conditioned souls are enchanted by the illusory energy, people do not take this Sankirtan movement seriously. Therefore, those who are actually servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world in order to render the greatest benefit to human society. Of course, animals and other lower species are not capable of understanding this movement. But if even a small number of human beings take it seriously, then by their chanting loudly, all living entities, including even trees, animals, and other lower species, will all be benefited. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Haridas Thakur how he could benefit living entities other than humans, Srila Haridas Thakur replied that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so potent that if it is chanted loudly, everyone will benefit, including the lower species of life. The prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made in this episode is now actually coming to pass, for the Krishna consciousness movement is being distributed all over the world through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so people who were leading confused, chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in Sankirtan, and therefore they are acknowledging the supreme benefit of this movement. This is the blessing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya's prediction is now factually being fulfilled, and those who are sober and conscientious are appreciating the value of this great movement. The magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this episode. Although Lord Chaitanya was born in Bengal, and Bengalis therefore have a special duty towards Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis, but all the inhabitants of India. For it is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed. Human life is especially meant for God realization, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Anyone who takes birth in the land of India, Bharatavarsha, has the special privilege of being able to take advantage of the instruction and guidance of the Vedic civilization. He or she automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. For 99.9% of the Indian people, even simple village farmers and others, who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His representative. These ideas are the natural inheritance of a person born in India. India has many holy places of pilgrimage, such as Gaya, Benares, Mathura, Prayag, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwaram, and Jagannath Puri, And still people go there by the hundreds and thousands. Although the present leaders of India are influencing the people not to believe in God, not to believe in a next life, and not to believe in a distinction between pious and impious life, and although they are teaching them how to drink wine, eat meat, and become supposedly civilized, people are nevertheless afraid of the four activities of sinful life: illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And whenever there is a religious festival, the people gather together by the thousands. And we have actual experience of this. Whenever the Krishna consciousness movement holds a Sankirtana festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, Ahmedabad, or Hyderabad, thousands of people come to hear us. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, nevertheless they come to hear from us. Even when imitation incarnations of Godhead speak, people gather in the thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principles of spiritual life. They merely need to be a little more educated in the Vedic principles. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in this episode, Janma Sarthak Kari Kara Para Upakar. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he or she is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activity for the entire world. But at present, for want of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, the entire world is in darkness, having been covered by the four principles of sinful life: meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. Therefore, there is a need for vigorous propaganda to educate people to refrain from all these sinful activities. This will bring peace and prosperity, and the rogues, thieves, and debauchees will naturally decrease in number, and then all of human society will be God-conscious. The practical effect of our spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is that now the most degraded debauchees are becoming the most elevated saints. So this is only one Indian's humble service to the world. If all Indians had taken to this path, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, India would have given a unique gift to the world, and thus India would have been glorified. Now, however, India is known as a poverty-stricken country, and whenever anyone from America or another opulent country goes to India, he or she sees many people lying by the footpaths for whom there are not even provisions for two meals a day. There are also institutions collecting money from all parts of the world in the name of welfare activities for poverty-stricken people. But they are spending it for their own sense gratification. So now, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna consciousness movement has been started, and people are benefiting from this movement. Therefore, it is the duty now of the leading men of India to consider the importance of this movement and train many Indians to go outside of India in order to preach this cult. People will accept it, and there will be cooperation among the Indian people and among the other people of the world. And thus, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be glorified all over the world, and people will naturally be happy, peaceful, and prosperous, not only in this life, but also in the next. For as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvatah Chakva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mam Eti Sorjuna. For anyone who understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will very easily get salvation or freedom from the repetition of birth and death, and go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore requests every Indian to become a preacher of his cult in order to save the world from disastrous confusion. But this is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. And we are very happy that American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all of human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. Now, there are two kinds of general activities. Srayas, or activities, which are ultimately beneficial and auspicious. And then there is prayas, or those activities, which are immediately beneficial and auspicious. For example, children are fond of playing. They do not want to go to school to receive an education, and they think that to play all day and night and enjoy with their friends is the aim of life. Why, even in the transcendental life of Lord Krishna, we find that when Krishna was a child, Krishna was very fond of playing with his friends of the same age, the cowherder boys. Krishna would not even go home to take his dinner. Mother Yashoda would have to come out to induce Krishna to come back home. Thus, it is a child's nature to engage all day and night in playing, not caring even for one's health and other important concerns. So this is an example of prayas, or immediately beneficial activities. But there are also shreyas, or activities which are ultimately auspicious. According to Vedic civilization, a human being must be God conscious. He or she should understand what God is, what this material world is, who one is, and what their interrelationships are. This is called shreyas, or ultimately auspicious activity. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that one should be interested in shreyas. In order to achieve the ultimate goal of shreyas, or good fortune, one should engage everything, including his or her life, wealth, and words, not only for oneself, but for others also. However, unless one is interested in shreyas in one's own life, he or she cannot preach of shreyas for the benefit of others. So herein, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cites a verse which applies to human beings, not to animals, as indicated in a previous verse by the words Manushya Jatma. These injunctions are meant for human beings. Unfortunately, human beings, although they have the bodies of men and women, are becoming less than animals in their behavior. This is the fault of modern education. For modern educators do not know the actual aim of human life. They are simply concerned with how to develop the economic condition of their countries or of human society. And this is also necessary. The Vedic civilization considers all aspects of human life, including dharma, religion, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. But humanity's first concern should be religion. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of God. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion, and they are simply busy in economic development. Therefore, they will adopt any means to get money. For economic development, one does not need to get money by hook or by crook. One needs only sufficient money to maintain his or her body and soul together. However, because modern economic development is going on with no religious background, people have become lusty, greedy, and mad after money. They are simply developing the qualities of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance, neglecting the other quality of material nature, sattva, or goodness, and the brahminical qualifications. Therefore, the entire society is in chaos. But the Srimad Bhagavatam says that it is the duty of an advanced human being to act in such a way as to facilitate human society's attainment of the ultimate goal of life. Unfortunately, people in general do not know what is to take place in the next life. To prepare oneself for his or her next life is only common sense, and it is a principle of the Vedic civilization. But presently, people throughout the world do not believe in a next life. Why, even influential professors and other educators say that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. So this atheistic philosophy is only killing human civilization. People are irresponsibly performing all sorts of sinful activities, and thus the privilege of human life is being taken away by the educational propaganda of the so-called leaders. Actually, it is a fact that this life is meant for preparation for the next life. By evolution, one has come through many species or forms, and this human form of life is an opportunity to promote oneself to a better life. This is explained by Krishna in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitrim yanti pitri vrataha, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. But those who worship Krishna will live with Krishna. Therefore, one may promote him or herself to the higher planetary systems, which are the residence of the demigods. One can also promote oneself to Pitriloka, or one can remain on earth, but one can also go back home, back to Godhead. And this is further confirmed elsewhere by Krishna himself in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Kyakva dehaṁ punarjanma naiti mam iti sorjuna. After giving up the body, One who knows Krishna in truth does not come back again to this material world to accept another material body. Rather, he or she goes back home, back to Godhead. This knowledge is in the Shastras, and people should be given the opportunity to understand this knowledge. Even if one is not able to go back to Godhead in one life, the Vedic civilization at least gives one the opportunity to be promoted to the higher planetary systems where the demigods live and not glide down again to animal life. At present, people do not understand this knowledge, although it constitutes a great science, for they are uneducated and trained not to accept it. This is the horrible condition of modern human society. As such, the Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope to direct the attention of intelligent men to a greater benefit in life. In performing welfare activities for human society, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presents himself as not being very rich, thus indicating that a man need not be rich or opulent to act for the welfare of humanity. Sometimes rich men are very proud that they can perform beneficial activities for human society, whereas others cannot. A practical example is that when there is a scarcity of food in India on account of meager rainfall, some members of the richer class very proudly distribute foodstuffs, making huge arrangements with the help of the government, as if merely by such activities people will be benefited. But suppose there were no food grain, how would the rich men then distribute food? Production of grain is completely in the hands of God. If there were no rain, there would be no grain, and these so-called rich men would be unable to distribute grain to the people. Therefore, the real purpose of life is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that devotional service is so exalted that it is beneficial and auspicious for every man. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also declared that to propagate the bhakti cult of devotional service within human society, one does not need to be very rich. Anyone who knows the art can do it, and thus render the highest benefit to humanity. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the part of a gardener because, although a gardener is naturally not a very rich man, the gardener does have some fruits and flowers. Any man can collect some fruits and flowers and satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, as Krishna personally recommends in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Patrang pushpang phalang toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tad aham bhakti uparhitam ashnami prayatatmanah. One cannot satisfy the Supreme Lord by his or her riches, wealth, or opulent position. But anyone can collect a little fruit or a flower and offer it to Krishna. Krishna says that if one brings such an offering in devotion, Krishna will accept it and eat it. And when Krishna eats, the entire world becomes satisfied. And there is a story in the Mahabharata illustrating how by Krishna's eating, the 60,000 disciples of Durvasa Muni
were all satisfied. Therefore, it is a fact that by our life, pranai, by our wealth, arthai, by our intelligence, dhiya, or by our words, vacha, we can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naturally, the entire world will thus become happy. Our main duty, therefore, is to satisfy the Supreme Godhead by our actions, by our money, and by our words. This is very simple. Even if one does not have money, he or she can preach the Hare Krishna mantra to everyone. One can go everywhere, to every home, and request everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus, the entire world situation will become very happy and peaceful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most benevolent personality in all of human society, because Lord Chaitanya's only desire is to make people happy. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is especially meant for the purpose of making people happy. Lord Chaitanya wanted to become the tree himself because a tree is said to be the most benevolent living entity. Krishna himself also highly praises the existence of a tree. According to Vedic civilization, Kshatriyas are considered to be great personalities, because if anyone goes to a Kshatriya king to ask for charity, the king will never refuse. Trees are compared to such noble Kshatriyas because everyone derives all kinds of benefits from trees. Some people take fruit, others take flowers, others take leaves, others take twigs, and others even cut down the tree. And yet, the tree gives to everyone without hesitation. Unnecessarily cutting down trees without consideration is yet another example of human debauchery. The paper industry cuts many hundreds and thousands of trees for its mills, and with the paper, so much rubbish literature is published for the whimsical satisfaction of human society. Unfortunately, although these industrialists are now happy in this life, by dint of their industrial development, they do not know that they will incur the responsibility for killing these living entities who are in the form of trees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna once spoke to his cowherder boyfriends when Krishna was taking rest underneath a tree after Krishna's pastime of stealing the clothes of the gopis, Vastra Harana Leela. And by quoting this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that we should be tolerant like trees and also beneficial like trees, who give everything to needy persons who come underneath them. A needy person may derive many advantages from trees and also from many animals. But in modern civilization, people have become so ungrateful that they simply exploit the trees and animals and kill them. These are some of the sinful activities of modern civilization. Recorded April 9, 2022 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Samsara Dabanala Lidhaloka Tranaya Karunya Ganaganatvam Praptasya Kalyana Gunarnavasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Mahaprabho Kir Tananritya Gita Vaditra Majyan Manasorasena Romanchakam Pasru Taranga Bhajo Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Sri Vigraharadhana Nityanana Sringara Tanmandira Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktans Chani Yunjatopi Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Chatur Vidhasri Bhagavat Prasada Svadvana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangan Kritvaiva Tripting Bhajatak Sadaiva Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Sri Radhika Mad Havayora Para Madhurya Leela Guna Rupa Namna Pratikshan Nasvadana Lolupasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Nikunjayuno Rati Kali Sidyai Yayali Viryukti Apekshaniya Tatrati Dakshad Ati Vallabhasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Sakshad Hari Dena Samasta Shastrai Rukta Sitta Bhav Yata Eva Sadbihi Kintu Prabhoya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado Yasya Prasadan Nagati Kutopi Dayan Stubang Stasya Yashastri Sandyang Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam 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 Jaya Prabhupad 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 Om Ajnana Chimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. My spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy, just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it. Srila Prabhupada delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, my spiritual master, who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. Chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, singing, and playing musical instruments, Srila Prabhupada is always gladdened by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because he is relishing the mellows of pure devotion within his mind, sometimes his hair stands on end. He feels quivering in his body, and tears flow from his eyes like waves. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, my eternal spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments. They clean the temple and perform other similar worship of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my ever-well-wisher, my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is always offering Krishna four kinds of delicious food, analyzed as that which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. When Srila Prabhupada sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavat Prasad, Srila Prabhupada is thus satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who is my eternal father. Srila Prabhupada is always eager to hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Radhika and Madhava, as well as their qualities, names, and forms. Srila Prabhupada aspires to relish these at every moment. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is very dear to Lord Krishna because he is expert in assisting the gopis who, at different times, make different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs within the groves of Vrindavana. I offer my most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord is honored, because Prabhupada is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and is followed by all spiritual authorities. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. And without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. I therefore should always remember and praise Srila Prabhupada. At least three times a day, I should offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON.